From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Well, hello, boys and girls. It's Postcard from Pop Rab with a bit of a difference this week. It's because I feel like I was in a third world country for a while. And it was very scary to be in that third world country because I had no internet. So anyway, this is Postcard from Pop Rab with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious, thank you, I'm home, thank you God, Tatras Mountains, with all the beautiful snow around and blue skies and nice people. And over the other side of the stagnant pond known as the North Sea, it's Lee Banks.
Excuse me, I thought I was doing the introduction to this programme.
No, I said you'd be producer.
Well, you're producer and you do the introductions. I'm not going to do the rest of it. No, I'm not doing it. You can get lost. You're old and I installed the notes because you didn't bother to do any.
Hi to the Talk Radio X people and the nice people at Replay. And, of course, the wonderful people on RTI and Audio Boo, which is growing like mad, it has to be said. And I'm very humbled. Thank you so much. That's one message I did see from George, who's in Slovakia and has retweeted us this week. Retweeted Postcard from Pop Rad to all of his mates. Isn't that nice?
I don't think there's anything humble about you because you've just ignored my plea to allow me to do the introduction to the show, even though I'm in charge.
But why don't you do one now, then?
Because we're half an hour into the show now.
We're only a minute and a half. You can do a little practice at it.
But then they'll all think I'm just childish. And that I'm just doing it like because I've had a tantrum and you're just letting me do it because I'm a big girl. All right, then, I'll do it.
I was going to say... There's some honesty in that comment.
What? That I'm a big girl?
I didn't say a word. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time ever, Lee G. Banks is going to introduce Postcard from Pop Rad. Have a cup of tea or something.
Well, I'm really doing it. I don't know how to do it. Hold on.
Ready?
Count me in. Count me in like a rock star.
Q Lee Banks, UK. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. This is Lee G. Banks calling you from across the sea of love. And here we have, waiting for me, our wonderful Eric Gorgeous Wiltshire, whose middle name happens to be Norman.
I knew that was coming. I could feel it. Well, I could smell it as it was happening. How are you, boy?
Norman's not smelling. I'm very well, thank you. I'm a bit fed up, actually.
Well, I was fed up.
It's just there's a lot of things going on that just shouldn't be going on. Oh. Life is hard.
It was for me this week because I didn't have internet for my whole day. It was horrible.
Well, actually, you know what? As the person who's in charge of this show, I think I should apologise on the part of Postcard from Poprad. For you saying where you've been is a third world country. I think you could cause a diplomatic incident.
I probably won't go back for a while. Yeah, right. Anyway, so one quick apology, boys and girls. I know there's been a few messages around. Because I've very briefly seen a few, but we'll save more luck for next week, and because that's my job, and I'll bring them over to you next week. But nice to see so many new faces on the audio booth thing as well, which is really cool. So this week...
We're doing very well there, aren't we?
We are, actually. This week, by the way, if you don't like the topics within the programme, it's Lee's fault.
No, it isn't my fault. I beg to differ on that. It is wrong to say it's my fault. It's your fault for not bothering to do any.
Well, you did them all. You're the producer.
I know, but I didn't know I was the producer. I've only got 3 subjects. We've got an hour to fill.
Well, that's about situation normal then, for goodness sake.
No, like last week, if you think, we couldn't even get them all in.
Best story of my life, really.
Yeah, you can't get it all in. I have something really... Anyway, as the person in charge of this August show...
Yes.
I have something...
Lee.
Hello.
Lee.
What?
March.
What's my... Oh, August! That's a calendar joke, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, that could be a Neil Sedaka joke, you know.
Calendar Girl?
Yes.
Why didn't they use that as the theme music to the film Calendar Girls? Or did they?
I don't know, maybe because it's too old.
Well, no, all the women were old, weren't they? Old women with no clothes on. That's all we've got left in our lives now, you know.
Yeah, I've suddenly noticed that actually in the north of England, they don't sell irons anymore.
Irons?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, actually.
Well, you use irons to take out wrinkles, don't you?
Oh, dear. Yeah, iPhones have brought out something for women, you know. It's called irons.
Ha, 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 ha. Right, where are we starting then, Japs? Let's get on with some sideways look at the news.
Let's start with the Blair Rich Project.
Oh, not him again.
What? Yeah, why?
Sorry, no, go carry on. I'll shut up now. You're in charge.
Very quiet.
You're in charge.
Okay. Well, I'd like to put it this way to you. This is the Blair Rich Project. I think it's absolutely amazingly bad. You know, this. If I can defend... I can... Oh, God almighty. Don't ever put me in charge again. I can defend, right, a man who starts a war for a good reason.
Right. Yeah? Okay.
I can equally defend a man who becomes a peace envoy.
Right.
Or I could even defend a man who left Gordon Brown in the mire. But
right.
I can't defend a man who's making millions out of the nations that he's destroyed.
Right.
What if you think? I don't. Have you not seen? Are you really been that cut off?
I've been like the man in the bubble.
Oh, that's because you've had problems with your nose, isn't it? Lord, it goes round your
head. Stop it.
You look like you're walking around in a big space.
The last decent television I saw before, well, it'll be tonight because I didn't have a chance last night. The last decent television I saw was Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
When the Grand Prix was on.
Oh, I know you tweeted me about that and I just ignored it. I treated it with the contempt it deserved.
But I have to say, Lee, it was rubbish.
Was it? Why? What happened?
It was like
it
was like a funeral procession. The Grand Prix was like a funeral procession. Because they're not allowed to stop this year, you see, to get extra fuel when they're whizzing around. And so they're all going really sort of backing off a bit to get the fuel to last.
Oh, right.
And it was just not racing anymore. It was.
So what were they doing? They were doing about 5 miles an hour.
Well, considerably more than that. But the bottom line was, it was just a procession. It wasn't. Well, I hope it gets better. Otherwise, this season's going to be. There was such a build-up to this season. We'd like Michael Schumacher coming back. You've got Jenson Button. You've got all the other previous world champions in this grid, and it's like, well, you've got Dorothy driving a Ford Fiesta around.
Our Dorothy.
Yeah.
Well, she was there. She was driving a Ford Fiesta.
She would have won. She'd have won, telling you. She'd have won. Not a problem.
Oh, see, that was an illusion, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a right.
I'm just not on the ball. I can't talk, Eric. Power of speech completely.
Do you have a different subject? You're not going to talk about Blair, are you?
No, well, obviously not, because you're not going to let me even though I'm in charge. No, all right, I'll just let you know. Right, I'll just state this case boldly, then we'll move on.
Right.
We'll move on to more interesting
things.
So we'll go
boldly, where no man has been before.
That's right.
Right.
Into Tony Blair's honesty. Yeah. No, he's done a deal, right, with a multinational oil company. And this multinational oil company has extensive interests in Iraq. Now, basically, there, I rest my case. But he's also done a deal with the ruling family in Kuwait.
Right.
And it's all to do with oil.
Okay. So what does he do? Does he have a big tanker and bring loads of oil back to England?
Well, now he's getting paid £1 million by the royal, by this particular royal family.
Yeah.
For being their advisor.
That's all right.
He's making millions out of... Well, if he was... Like I said, I would defend anybody to go and make themselves a few quid.
Mm.
But with all the controversy surrounding Tony Blair's attitude towards the war and whether he knew there were weapons of mass destruction and all the other arguments that try and point the finger at Tony Blair, why has he got the front and the arrogance to actually start making himself millions of pounds out of that war?
Who asked?
He killed.
Lee,
he caused the deaths of thousands of people. And now he's making millions of pounds.
Lee, allegedly he did. But.
There's nothing allegedly about
there
it.
Is.
There.
The fact
thousands
is.
Of people
can I just
dead.
Ask a little question?
Yes, dear.
Right, who employed him?
What do you mean, who employed him?
Well, did this Shake Your Money employ him?
Yeah, but he could have said no.
Well, he could have done.
I think it's politically insensitive for a man who started a war and then
you
became
can't
a
talk today, can you?
I did that. That was perfect. There was nothing wrong. Every word came out perfectly.
Say insensitive again.
Insensitive.
That's like. Better.
It's insensitive, politically insensitive, for a man who caused the war to then start making money out of it when he is a peace envoy.
Do you think he started the war then?
Well, I can tell you really that him and Mr. Bush were quite complicit in it.
And what about the other third party in it then?
What? Old Saddam?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that he'd really started that war. If you remember, he was our friend until then.
Yeah, until a bit later on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he was. And we'd supplied him with all the weapons that he got. We'd supplied him with everything. He was our friend.
But
he held the Middle East together.
Let's go back a little. Let's go back 50 years. Go back 50 years. Or 60,
years.
Probably.
Iraq didn't exist. No,
but go back 60 years. Don't I vaguely remember some politicians being nice to Hitler?
Of course. Well, yeah, but what's that going to do with it?
Well, if they then, can be... But that's what politicians always do. One minute they're nice to somebody, then he's the big antichrist, which in Hitler's case was quite right.
Of course there is, yeah, but that's not the point. That isn't the point. Yeah, we can argue about the rights and wrongs of Saddam's tyranny in the Middle East and everything else that went on.
Yeah.
But it's not the point. This is the point that this man, Tony Blair, is making money out of this war.
Right, and
everybody said that the reason we were going into this war was because of the oil. And lo and behold, our wonderful peace envoy, Tony Blair, is making money out of the oil in Iraq.
Okay, I accept your argument, okay. Now let's just take you back to where we were 60 years ago, whatever it was.
I'm not talking about Hitler.
But
I am
what
Hitler.
Happens?
I'm charging this show. I am the Hitler of postcards and boppers.
I know. Wouldn't you love to be? The fact is, isn't it true that when they were rebuilding bits after World War II, that a load of people actually profited from that rebuild?
War is big business.
Absolutely. That's where I'm going. I'm not dissing your argument, but I'm just saying it's normal. That's the trouble.
It's normal.
That's the
but
trouble.
I tell you what, Winston Churchill didn't nip out to Germany and say, "Oh, let's have a look. I'll do a deal on these Frankfurters."
Yeah, but I bet he got a few quid for after dinner speaking, though.
Well, I don't know if he did, you know, because I think actually Winston Churchill took his job as Prime Minister of this country quite seriously.
Well,
I know he made a few mistakes.
I can tell you that there was...
He was a man of honour.
But you could still buy... I don't know if you can still buy them now, but I was involved in a project many years ago for the Churchill speeches when they were converted from cassette or tape to CD. And, you know, there must have been a royalties payment there somewhere. Could be wrong, but...
No, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was. There's nothing wrong with that.
The trouble with all of this stuff is it gets to a point for me... Where I'm going, yeah, but I know it goes on.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that goes on. And it just keeps coming back time after time after time. Mm. And always does. I mean, if you go further out to sort of Pakistan and Afghanistan and places like that, there are people out there who are making millions from it.
Of course there are. Of course there are. There always are in war.
And that's the problem. That's where I'm agreeing with you. How do you
well,
stop?
There is another point to this.
Go on, right? Then.
If in fact it's good, it's clear and above board for Tony Blair to go and make money out of Iraqi oil. Yeah, and there's nothing there that sort of smacks of anything other than goodness.
Right.
Why did he then persuade... the advisory committee on business appointments, right?
Yeah.
To not tell anybody. Why did he keep it a secret?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
For 2 years. Well, the answer is from him. Mm-hmm. Tony Blair's answer to me when I asked him.
Yes.
Is that it was actually it was a sensitive point as far as business was concerned. It was something that he felt, as far as business was concerned, commercially sensitive. He had to keep it secret. Well, I don't believe that a man who works for the UN, who is the former Prime Minister of this country, really should be asking for that to be kept secret.
No,
this man made £20 million in the last 2.5 years.
And? Well, you should say thank you to him.
Why? You know, why?
Well, just a minute. Unless I've missed something completely here, you should actually be writing to him and say, hey, well done, Tony.
Why?
Well, because he's got all this money from the Middle East, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're going to say.
And he's paid his taxes on it because he's not...
I'm sure he has.
Yes.
And I'm sure he's got brilliant accountants who helped him, like, make sure he didn't have to pay too much.
I know what's wrong with you.
What?
I'm going to have to sit you in a blinking news desk at a tabloid newspaper for a while. Then you'll be better.
I've not sat at the news desk of a tabloid newspaper for 10 years.
That's what it is, then, you see.
No, I don't miss it at all, you know.
Do you not?
I don't miss it at all. Oh, not really. Not really. Yeah, there are times when, there's certain things come up and you say, ooh, I wouldn't mind if having to go at that.
Mm.
But in reality, now, the cut and thrust of the newspaper world is insanity. And I don't want to be insane. I want to be my normal sane.
Especially spent enough time in your life being insane as it is that right? Right, moving along, because that's boring.
No! I say moving along.
Oh, sorry. Go on then. You say it.
Right. Moving along.
Good. Thank you.
We now go to the man who should have stuck to his Lamborghini.
What?
Hey?
What? What headline was that, for goodness sake?
Yeah. This is Glenn Knowles. My advice to Glenn Knowles is stick to your Lamborghini, then you'll be able to find your Lamborghini.
I knew it was it had to be a tabloid headline, didn't it?
No, that's not a tabloid headline. That's just crass poetry, actually.
I can't see any poetry there
actually, at all. Actually, a lot of tabloid headlines are.
Yeah.
You know what I won an award for at a tabloid headline, right?
Go on.
And in a way, I don't think this would be usable now. But it ain't going. No, this is only going back about 8 years, 9 years.
Uh-huh.
There was, I don't know if you remember it, they started an Asian Coronation Street.
Did they?
Yeah, it was a street of Asian families. It was a really good program, actually.
Oh.
And it was just the equivalent to Coronation Street.
Oh.
And I coined the headline, which won awards.
Yes.
Which was a national award. I said, Coronation Street.
Very good. Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, like, you don't laugh out loud things. It's headlines. It's touched.
So are you telling me they have an award ceremony for tabloid headlines then?
Yeah.
That's sad, isn't it?
I won another one. I'm trying to remember what that one was for.
Oh, good. Are we going to start?
Anyway, there's this property investor, right, who has a propensity to drink now and again, and I understand that and sympathise with it.
Right.
And he was having problems, right? This is terrible. That was because I have actually been this. So he went out and he got a bit drunk.
Right.
I think he got a lot drunk. And he came out and had forgotten where he parked his £130,000 Lamborghini. He couldn't find it.
Right.
Well, actually, he shouldn't have been looking for it if he was drunk.
No, he shouldn't. So you should have left your keys at the bar.
That's right. But anyway, he went looking for it. He might have only just been going to look at it, make sure it was okay. I'll get his mate to drive it home.
Yeah,
he lost it. He completely lost it. He had lost his Lamborghini. And he's never recovered it. Now, the sense says that it was probably nicked. But having said that, the police have done all they can to try and trace it as a stolen car.
Uh-huh.
And nobody can find it. It's just vanished off the face of the earth. Which then led to this bloke being tried in court for swindling his insurance company.
What?
Yeah, they decided because he couldn't remember where his car was, that the police couldn't find any evidence at all that it had been nicked.
Right.
That he'd actually, got rid of it to claim the insurance money. So he ended up in court for that. Not only did he got the world's worst hangover and lost £130,000 car, he was up in court facing up to 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, as the sanity of the British judicial system would have it, they decided that he wasn't guilty.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yeah, and he's been cleared of it. But no, he earns £160,000 a year from a property portfolio. That's amazing, isn't it?
£160,000?
Yeah.
That's not a lot to have a Lamborghini.
Well, no, actually, when you think it isn't, is it? Because that's a year's salary just gone on your car, isn't it?
Yeah. Blimey. Nah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, he's not. Anyway, he's travelling around in taxis now. But the problem is, his best mates fell out with him.
Right.
Because it turns out his best mate owned half the car, and he's just lost the car. The car's just vanished.
So he didn't really own the car in the first place, then?
He owned half of it, yeah.
Oh, dear. Can you own half a car? Cut it in bits.
Yeah, well, there's you.
Could you imagine me and you owning half a car each? I'm driving. Doof. I'm driving. Doof. I'm driving. Doof.
Well, I lost my car as well. I did exactly the same thing. I'll tell you what it was.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the riots were on in Toxteth, in Liverpool?
It's a bit before my time.
What are you talking about, woman?
It's like, that's like centuries ago.
I'm trying to remember when it was. I was on the Sun, I was working on... No, I tell you, I was working on the Daily Star, and I covered the riots in Toxteth.
Well, how long ago is that then? 70s or 80s?
Yeah, it'd be the 80s. 80s!
Oh, I was still a wee lad then.
That's not long, that's only 30 years.
Goodness
anyway,
sake, yeah.
At that time, I had this most immaculate burnt orange 2-litre S Capri.
You didn't. You didn't really.
I did. It was a beauty. It was beautiful, man.
So, are you telling me you had the boys' version of the Capri?
I had the big boys' version.
No, that's the boys' version.
Why? What do you mean? A 2-litre S Capri?
Yeah, the big boys' version was a 3-litre V6 Capri.
They were stupid. This was elegant. This was elegant. Didn't have that big bump in the middle of the. Yeah. No, it was beautiful, man. It was like
you're the kind of bloke that would drive one of these cars that's got a big loud exhaust and go boom, boom, boom. And when they pull off the traffic lights, they go. That was a 2-litre Capri.
I have an exhaust like that now.
Stop talking about the wife like that. Anyway, moving on. So
I've not finished that yet.
Have you not? Okay, sorry.
No, it's all right. Anyway, so I parked my Capri.
Can I have a cup of tea now, then?
Will you listen to me? I parked my Capri, right, miles away from Toxteth, because it's bad enough in Liverpool anyway, and a 2-litre S Capri burnt orange with Recaro wheels and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, can say to the policeman, where's my car? Oh, it's over there, sir, on the bricks.
Yeah, there, you see, yeah, the car's gone, but your hubcaps are there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I'm finishing this story. Is this like me? See, do I do this to you?
Yes.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I'm yes.
Do it.
Every week.
So, anyway, so then I park the car miles away and I got a taxi into the centre of Toxteth. Now, as journalists are not stupid, what we'd all arrange to do, we arranged to meet in a pub, and I can't remember what it's called, the Toxteth Arms or something like that. And we covered the riots from the Toxteth Arms. That's what you do. You just have a quick look out the window, see what's going on, make a note, make a phone call. Then that's it, it's done.
Have another beer.
Anyway, have another beer. I think I'd had 12 pints when I decided to get a taxi back to where I thought the car was.
No.
I couldn't find it.
I should think after 12 pints that was a good idea.
I know. Well, that was the thing. I phoned the police to help me. I said, somebody's nicked my car. And they said, well, it's good job, mate. Really, you're good. I said, I wasn't going to drive. No, I just wanted to make sure it was all right, like I thought this bloke was. Anyway, you know what they did?
No.
They stuck me in a van, in the police van, and drove me round.
Aww.
The streets, and I was three streets away from it.
Oh, right.
And they dropped me off there, and they said, "Don't you drive?" And I said, "No, I won't." Like that, and I didn't. Well, anyway, I got home eventually. That's not what it says. That wasn't really worth telling you, anyway, was it?
No, not really.
So anyway, he's lost his Lamborghini.
Ah,
now this is very interesting as well.
Is it?
Because even though I might know where his Lamborghini is,
what, in Moscow?
No, I don't think it's in Moscow.
Oh, right.
I think it's on the moon.
What?
Yeah, because the Russians lost a transporter 37 years ago on the moon. They couldn't find it.
The Russians? Right? I didn't think they'd ever been to the moon.
Now I'm confused, because I don't think they have either.
No, it was the Americans that went to the moon.
My notes say it's Russian. See, there's the problem with the internet. They've got it wrong. They've got the wrong people going to the moon. What was that? What was that song? The first man in the moon.
Right. Available for bar mitzvahs, weddings, and other parties for after dinner speaking, but not production. It's Lee Banks carrying on.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, they lost. Whoever lost it, I think it was the Americans, actually. They lost this thing on the moon,
right.
This transporter. 35 years later, they finally found it.
Have they?
And it's near the Sea of the Anemone or something. Yeah, in fact. Well, what I don't understand about that is, right?
Yes.
Why is it taking them so long to find it? There's only one up there.
It was a bit of a long bus ride, isn't it?
Well, they didn't go by bus, they go by aeroplane without any wings. Like a bullet.
Yeah, but they stop off at the International Space Station these days. They haven't nipped over afterwards, have they?
Did they? Did they have a McDonald's there?
No.
Well, I wouldn't stop then. I'd just carry on. Yeah, you should have gone before we set off.
Sorry, boys. Not going to bring you any reserves this week. No, sorry, boys. You can't have any food. We're going past because there's no McDonald's. Marvellous.
Yeah, you should have gone before you came out.
Yes.
That's it, yeah. You'll have to wait now.
That's what girls do all the time. Don't you notice that? You have to stop down the road for the girls. Every time you go on a journey.
The road. As soon as I lock the door, Andrea has to come back in. Honestly.
Oh, my word.
Here's one for you, because I think this is right up your street.
Right.
I think this is good, actually. I must admit. The Volkswagen Transporter, you know, the VW microbus.
The camper van.
Camper van.
Yeah.
The microbus.
Let's go surfing now, everybody surfing. That one.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys, Adam.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
I hate you!
Why? What have I done now?
Shut you up! Shut up!
Well, you know how I feel now, don't you?
Well, I know, but I didn't know it had this effect on you. This is the first one I've ever done about by myself. I'm being barracks up here. This is like being on the stage when you get somebody in the audience who starts heckling you. It's and the problem is you can't get off the stage and give them a good biffy. Anyway, so the Volkswagen microbus, right?
Yes.
He's 60 years old today.
Oh, that's why Bob Dylan's got one.
Bob Dylan has not got a VW.
Yeah, didn't he have a VW thingy in one of his videos?
No, he didn't.
Are you sure about this?
I am as sure that he didn't have one in one of his videos as I am sure that it wasn't the Russians who went to the moon.
Oh, dear. Did you ever drive one?
I have driven them. Yeah, I think they're lovely.
Changing gear was like mixing a pudding.
I know. Honestly, it was, wasn't it? And if you missed, it was all right, because you just waggled it about and eventually it'd find a little hole to go in, wasn't it? It was brilliant. Yeah, they were lovely. One of my mates got one now, and we sit in the back, like in our flowery shirts and little shorts.
Yes.
And we share a park drive, yeah.
Yes.
And we put the music on it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, so you play the Beach Boys then, right?
Play what you want, really. Anything from Bob Dylan to His Royal Bobness will do. You know, anything like that's fine. Yeah. And you sit there, you just die, and it's brilliant. I loved it. I saw one. This is one thing that really got me, honestly. I just thought it was really funny. Because, you know, the VW microbus was really the hippie car, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was what, you know,
because
you got a home, you were like a snail. You could carry a home. Because they only went slow, didn't they? You could have your home on your back and park up and stop where you wanted.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Well, anyway, excuse me, you missed my cough then, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You got about 30 seconds, so hurry up.
Hey, I'm in charge! So anyway, I went to Morocco, and I was standing at the customs bit in Morocco, and I saw this VW microbus that had come across from Spain, stopped by the police, who then started to strip it completely, took the chairs out, took the door panels off, everything.
And in part two, boys and girls, you'll hear the rest of this story on Postcard from Pop Brad with me, Eric Wiltshire, and Lee Banks, and we'll find out what the police did to this little poor little VW thingy after the break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.